Everybody, good evening to you. You know, the psalmist and the Proverbs writer talks about how children are a heritage unto the Lord, how they are a reward. And that's an interesting way to think about our children. They're a reward. I know sometimes we don't think of them that way, but they are a reward. They are a heritage. And it says, happy is the man whose quiver is full. I had an old fellow once tell me, he was in his 60s and he had had 5 children. And he said that that means he had a quiver that's full, because a quiver is 5. And he had a quiver full. And so I attempted from that point on to fill my quiver. And I knew once I had 5, my quiver was full. So the rest of you better get going. No, there are different sizes of quivers. But it is a wonderful thing to have the children that we have. And tonight, as I said earlier this morning, we're going to talk about the children. This lesson is for the youngsters and the role of children in walking in the faith that they will grow up to. It's also for those who have children. It's for those who are going to someday. It's for those who have grandchildren, those who have great-grandchildren, those who have ever saw a child in their life. And so it's going to be, I hope, beneficial to all of us as we talk in this series to come about the role of the family, the role that we have. As a premise to this, we'll talk about how God instituted the family from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, and that God, from Deuteronomy to Ephesians to Titus, has given certain roles that each member of the home is to follow. And we're going to talk about that. When we talk about child development, we realize that child development is something that we see not only in the Bible in various different roles and ways that it's talked about in the Bible, but we also see that in child development series in teaching about school. I went to learn how to teach elementary school. And so we learned certain child development things and child psychology and all that would dull to hear. But what I want us to do is turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. And I'd like all you young people to turn there especially. And what we're going to do is look at the life of Jesus. You know, it doesn't tell us everything about the young life of Jesus, but it sums it up in just a few verses there and tells us how he developed in his life. Luke chapter 2, verse 40, beginning. Now, this is after they have been in that area of the temple. And it says in verse 40, I'll give you time to reach that. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And the child, speaking of Jesus, grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and favor of God was upon him. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom, and when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in a group, they went a day's journey, but then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him, and after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Were you looking for me? Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. The Bible presents 4 aspects of the child's development as he comes along. Child development experts, as I talked about what I was taught, recognize these same areas of development. And maybe you're going through some of these. Physical development, you're going to go through changes, you're going to get taller. Unless maybe you're Jackson, it's just going to take a while. You'll eventually get there, you'll get taller, I guarantee it. And there'll be psychological changes, you'll begin to think differently. And that's what it talked about. You know, in the physical, the Bible talks about how something grew and waxed into a great tree. The idea of increasing in number and size. In the psychological, in the brain, wax strong in spirit, it talks about, and strengthening one's personality and your disposition, the way you think, the way you act in certain ways. And
another verse talks about in Proverbs 15, your spirit can be broken. You can become saddened. You can become depressed. Proverbs 12. Your intellectual development is part of that. That's why they make you go to school. And then spiritual development is part of that. So you're going to grow, you're going to develop. And what's interesting is the Bible says of Jesus that He grew in wisdom, He grew in stature, He grew in just the same way you are. People say, well, we don't know much about the childhood of Jesus. Yes, we do. We knew that He grew in the same way that every child grows. And so there's nothing different there. Now, parents, you have a huge responsibility in shaping and molding the children's perceptions of God. The way you see God is the way your children will see God. You know, there's a book that says your God is too small. If you see God in such a way that your young children think, well, God's just a small part of our life, then He will be a small part of their life. Well, what about this? The Bible. You know, last year we talked about cherishing the Bible. Did you have your kids a part of that? Did you talk to them about that? What about the passage that we had, the memory verse that we had, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God? Were you excited about those kind of things? What about Bible class lessons? You know, I hear that from time to time, that somebody has worked on a Bible class lesson and they've gotten it and they come in, they ask the teacher a question, maybe they've gotten a different answer. Are you serious about it? Do they catch you studying your Bible? You know, it's important that it's part of their life. It's important that you help them understand the world around them and that you help them understand what sin is and what sin is not. But in the final analysis, the time comes, young people and parents, when they must have a faith of their own. You can't just go to your friends and say, well, my mom won't let me do it. I remember when an opportunity came up to go to a dance when I was in 6th or 7th grade. My mom said, well, you're going to have to make a decision whether you're going to go to that. I said, well, can I just say my mom won't let me? She said, no, because I'm not going to tell you the answer. So I went and I said, I can't go. They said, why? Your mom won't let you? I said, no. The Bible won't let me. I can't go. I think it's wrong. They didn't understand. But that's the way it was. You're going to have to make your own decisions. You've got to obey and honor your parents. Well, what does that mean? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, children, obey your parents. Now, that's not a if they do what you want them to do, if they get you the latest Nintendo. Oh, that's not the newest thing, is it? I don't know. I was happy with an Atari system. My kids still play with the Atari system. I'm not really up to date. But children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? This is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. What does it mean to obey your parents? It means whatever they ask. It doesn't matter if it makes sense. A lot of times parents ask us to do things that don't make sense, right? That don't make any sense what mom just asked. You do it anyway. Take out the garbage. Clean your room. I can't find my room. Clean your room. I don't want to eat that. You're going to eat that. Doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for me. It's good for you. Eat it anyway. Be nice to your sister. I don't want to be nice to my sister. Share. I don't want to share. What's it mean to honor your parents? There's several verses there that talk about honoring your parents. Listen to this closely. Lean in. It means to prize. It means to value. It means to esteem. It means they're precious to you. Did you get that? Value, prize, esteem, precious. That's like something you go out there and you get, you want to spend a lot of money on, you just can't wait to get that Christmas gift. That's the way you honor your parents. They are special to you. They are precious. It's more than the relief of their physical needs in their old age. You don't wait till they're old and need your help. You know what those 5 minutes of tears were for me with Cameron? Was it? That I thought he didn't need any tears. He's a big boy. He'd go. I cried a week when Brittany left. I cried an hour and a half when Ethan left.
I cried 5 minutes when Cameron went out to the car and got me something in the middle of the night. He said, Dad, it's okay. I got it for you. It's not just that, young people. You don't just care for their needs when they're old. You care for them when they need something now. Get that remote. Okay, Daddy, I'll get that remote for you. You're just 5 feet from it. Get the remote for me. You care for them. Could you get me a cup of tea? Yeah, Dad, I'll get you a cup of tea. Why? Because I raised you. I brought you into this world. I can take you out. You get that cup of tea. You get that Pepsi. Trust your parents. Children without real affection and admiration for their parents is disgusting. Rarely do we see a parent portrayed on TV as worthy of esteem. They make parents look foolish, and then you turn around and watch Disney Channel. Every parent looks stupid on that channel. Parents, you want them to see you in that light, kids? Many parents are not worthy. They're abusers and drunkards or worse. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, the Bible says sometimes. Don't be that child. You know, the Bible, young people, talks about, listen to me, look up, pay attention. The Bible talks to us about children who bring sorrow on their mother and shame to their father. It's not just teenagers. It's young people too. Where would you be without them? When you were a helpless infant, what did they do for you, Isaac? You don't even want to know. Maturing individuals, we worry about you. We agonize. We agonize. I thought I was going to lose Ethan. I said, man, we're going to lose him to the world. We're going to lose him to the devil. And Julie said, he's just two. Even as adult, seeking to guide your own children, who's to help you? Who do you call? When I could call my mom, I called my mom. We had a good day. We all went to visit her. And she gave us what may be her last advice. I don't know. Cherish your parents, young people. Trust them. Love them. Love your parents. Can I overemphasize that? And don't love them just on Mother's Day. Look up at me. Right here. Don't just make a Mother's Day card. Mother's Day is not one day a year. Father's Day is not one day a year. It's every day a year. It's every day. Don't just make a Valentine's card with a big heart on it. They cherish that. I keep them. I put them in the box and I keep them. I found out when my mother was moving out of her home, she kept every one of mine. And she kept a few of some other kids too. I don't know how they got in there. Love your parents. Ecclesiastes 12:1, develop faith in God. Remember now you're created in the days of your youth before the difficult days come and the years draw nigh when you say, I have no pleasure in them. You need to love the Lord now. I'm a little fired up about that. I love preaching. I preached all day. I started at 5:30. I was preaching to the wall. Working through the sermon. What was I going to say? Picked somebody up this morning. Preached this morning. Went to the nursing home. Man, we got like 50-some people there today. People filling out cards that want to have Bible studies. The old and the young were there. Seth read from John 3:16. And Eli read from Psalm 117. And Isaiah read from Psalm 100 again. You say, you want me to read it again? I might read it again. What was my point?
Remember the Lord now. Because there's going to come a day when there's going to be things that are going to make you not want to be interested. So do things. Do things. Develop faith in God. Serve God in your youth like Samuel. If you want to turn your Bibles over to Samuel, or 1 Samuel chapter 2, I want to show you something there about serving God in your youth like Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to concentrate on verse 18. But 1 Samuel chapter 2 says, then Elkanah, verse 11, then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. That means he served the Lord. Verse 18, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. That's where I was leading. That's where I meant to put those three boys in. They did something today. And the young people in here singing and things they do, and those who come up, you know, I have one, Riley, that he comes up, he and Brother Honeycutt sometimes come up, and their job is to clear everything I put up here off and take it to my office. Brother Perry had to read this morning because my spare Bible went to my office. You know? But they're doing something. Samuel 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Can you imagine that? Other kids weren't talking about the Lord. But Samuel was. Look at the next example. Trust in your youth like David. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 33. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go up against the Philistine to fight him, for you are a youth. And he a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion and a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant killed both a lion and a bear. And there the uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. I would be kind of scared of a kid that could do that, wouldn't you? But he didn't do it himself. He did it with the Lord. You see, that's different. You conquered the world. You conquer what's facing you. But you do it with the Lord. Why was Israel so afraid? Because they were defeated in their hearts. Young people, don't give up the fight of the Lord because you're defeated in your heart. You see what the difference was? The Israel looked up there at that giant and they said, he's too big to fight. David said, he's too big to miss. You see the difference? Recognize your need for God like Solomon. 1 Kings 3, just listen. Verse 7. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go in or go out. He said, I need your wisdom. You know, when I was a little fella, I'm sorry, my mother talked a lot. My mother said, what do you want to pray for, son? I want to pray for wisdom like Solomon. She said, pray, son. I prayed for wisdom for many years. I still pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. You never get enough of it. But you know what will come with it? Some tough challenges. Tough challenges. Stand against temptation, refusing to defile yourself like Joseph and Daniel. Someone said, that's a teenage problem. He was looked at by another woman and by a woman, and she wanted him to lie in her bed with him, and she wanted to see him naked, and that's older people like there. That's not only for older people, parents. Kids. Sometimes kids get curious. They get curious and want to look at each other. You want to look on the internet? Listen to me. Don't let anybody look at you. Don't go to swimming pools and let people look at you. We have a rule in our house. You dress in your room. You don't walk around the house without clothes on. You wear your clothes. You go to a pool?
Even our own pool. You put shirts on, long shorts on. Curiosity. It's not just a teenage problem.
Stand against temptation. Serve God in your youth. Trust God in your youth. Recognize your needs for God like Solomon. Stand against temptation and seek after and fear and love God in your youth like Josiah. Listen to this. Josiah was 8. Any 8-year-olds? There's one 8-year-old. One 8-year-old. Okay, this is all for you then, brother. Josiah was 8-year-old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David and did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek God of his father David. And the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of its high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molten images. He said, I'm 8, but this is wrong. He made a difference. Seth, you're the only one brave enough to raise your hand. You can make a difference. You can make a difference in your school, in your community, and in this congregation as you grow. What kind of person will you become? Are you still listening? Let's see. That's just 21 minutes. I'll be done in a minute. Who will you become? It's your choice, Riley. Obeying your parents is your choice. Nobody's making you. Seek to please God. It's your choice. God's not going to make you. You choose your friends. Avoid those who drink. Go to lascivious dances. Dress immodestly. Use curse words. And laugh and poke fun at other people who serve God. Those aren't friends. You choose your likes and you choose your dislikes. You choose how external things will affect you. Listen to this. If you've not listened yet, listen now. Focus. If your parents encourage you to wear things and go places and do things that are wrong, that's their fault. Parents? Kids, but if you wear things and do things and go places that you shouldn't, whose fault is it? Yours. Can't blame mom and dad then. Here's another one. If your friends encourage you to wear things and go places and do things that are wrong, that's their fault. But if you yield, it's your fault. Get away from them. But they wanted me to do it. I don't care. It's still your fault. Don't give me the wine. Okay? It's your fault. Who you become is your choice. Are you going to be honest? Or are you going to be dishonest? I got this front row back here. I got to focus on something that was back there. Right? I see you, Isaiah. Let's get on you now. So I was sitting back. You know what Tony told me? He told me I couldn't preach if he sat on the front row. Probably couldn't. Probably couldn't, Brother Thepper sat right there. I couldn't preach. Speaking of moral and immoral, you make that choice. Oh, that was a bad segue. Sorry. Faithful or unfaithful? You want to make that choice, young people. You make that choice. Sincere, insincere. You know what that word means in the Greek? They should take pots. Clay pots, and they made stuff out of it. I like the way you're paying attention. They took clay pots, and if they had holes in them, before they sold them, they put wax in those holes. You know? Then they painted them. Some nice person come around and buy it. They put some hot liquid in it. What do you think happened to that wax? Woo, the water came out. That's insincere. Sincere means without holes. Spiritually minded or carnally minded? You going to think about bodily things or you going to think about spiritual things? It takes no planting or watering or cultivating to grow weeds. I'm so proud of Ethan And Olivia, they planted a garden this year. They got weeds just like me. They got plants too, but you know, I had to throw that in. Nor does it take effort to grow worthless character and to become a person on the road to hell. Doesn't take any effort to do that. Careful attention and diligent effort to even seemingly small things is required for noble character and faithfulness. You've got to work at it, right? You still awake? You've got to work at it. You're not going to be like these brothers, gentlemen. You're not going to be like these sisters. By just coming along and sitting here and warming a pew. You know, this second pew is not going to get you like brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. It looks good right now, but I've seen several on the second pew end up in the ditch. Lost a soul. You don't have to be on the second pew. I'm glad you're there. But you can be anywhere in this building. But stay faithful to the Lord, okay? Begging you. Begging you. Young people need to know they can obey and honor their parents. Young people need to know they can serve God. Young people need to know they can trust God. Young people know they can recognize their need for God. Young people can know they can stand against temptation. Young people can learn to seek after and fear and love God. Young people, you're building your life now. It begins with your willingness to learn and submit. Just say, I can learn from my parents. I can learn from the elders. I can learn from that preacher even. Your compliance with God's will today will determine the quality of life and affect your eternal destiny. Strive to build a life of purity. Listen and godliness and be an example to others. There we go. Pick out your psalm books. You can listen for 27 minutes. I'm very proud of that. I don't see a kid asleep in here. Well, there's... Oh, he's away. Oh, he's away. Good. You know, each of you will take that time when you become accountable to God. Human accountability is one of the highest thoughts that you can contemplate. That means that you, when you become someone who can understand the scheme of redemption. In other words, you know what those words mean. When you understand scheme of redemption, then you're ready to become a Christian. That's a pretty good way to couch it in. Scheme, plan, redemption, salvation. God had a plan from the beginning. Man fell away. Here they were in the Garden of Eden. They had the tree of life. It was taken away. You go to the end of the book of the Bible. You go to Revelation. There's tree of life again. So the whole Bible is about getting from tree of life to the tree of life. How it was gone, and then we want to get back to it. That's the Bible in a nutshell. You got to read from the beginning where the tree of life was taken to the end where the tree of life is renewed. And you will know what you need to do. Don't take any shortcuts. Christianity is not for wimps. Read your Bibles. When you understand what the Lamb means, and the Lamb of God means, then let's talk baptism. But till then, just keep studying, okay? But for the rest of you tonight, if you have been someone who studied the Bible, and you realize what the importance is of you becoming a Christian, and you are much older than these folks, I am sure, and you realize that your life is in sin and you need to change, we encourage you this evening to do as the people did on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're a Christian here and maybe there's some reason you need to repent, maybe there's some reason you need to ask for prayers, we encourage you to do that. Young people, just keep growing in the Lord. You're doing just fine. 30 years from now, I want to see you still get it by. We can help you. Why don't you stand as we sing?